Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have identified 10 marks of a sound preacher. 10 ways to help you identify those preachers and teachers of God's Word who are indeed true to the Bible. A more difficult task than often we may think it could be. And the first two we've already covered, and the first two are basically wrapped up in the same phrase in verse 10, which says, "But you," Paul said to Timothy in contrast with the false teachers that he's just described, "but you have carefully followed my doctrine." And so the first characteristic of a sound teacher is that he follows other sound teachers. He emulates solid men. And number two, he preaches sound doctrine. We're actually going to come back to that second one and then move along to the ones to follow, but may I first welcome you to this Thursday, May 12 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And thank you very, very much, those of you whose financial gifts keep us on this station. Well, he not only admires and follows and emulates other men who preach sound doctrine, but he preaches it himself. That's the reason, of course, that he's drawn to such men, because he endeavors to do what they're doing. And that's why finding out what kind of men he is drawn to, he admires, is one very important mark of a sound preacher. If you can tell me who your prospective preacher listens to when he listens to preaching, that'll tell you a great deal about the kind of preacher that he is and that he is trying to be. Every one of us have had, if we've been saved for any length of time, have had men that God has greatly used to impact our lives, no doubt. And I know in my youthful days, as a teenager and a very young adult, there were particularly two men who impacted my life a great deal in regard to preaching. One of them was my pastor in the church that my family attended when I was a boy from the age of 13 on until really about age 25, I would say. It was right at the age of 25. And God used him a great deal in my life. And his preaching spoke to me. And his preaching was very, very biblical. It was primarily expository, occasionally topical, but primarily expository. And he had a real gift for taking the Word of God and breaking it down and preaching it to me. And I didn't hear too many other men who preached that way, and I was drawn to him. I admired him, and I tried to emulate him. I also had a particular professor in my seminary days that taught courses in expository preaching, to teach preachers how to preach in an expository style. And he had a great effect upon me. Now, as a preacher, I didn't think he was all that superior, though I did enjoy listening to him when I had the opportunity to hear him preach. He did preach in chapel services occasionally, very rarely really, but occasionally, at the school where I attended, and he also pastored a church, preached really, basically, on Sundays in a church in the area. And so when I had the opportunity to hear him, I always enjoyed it because I could hear him doing what he was teaching us to do in the classroom. And so with this one man that I thought was a superior example of pulpit ministry, and the other man who was an excellent instructor in the techniques of how to construct a good sermon, I felt very blessed and fortified and fairly well prepared when I launched into my first regular pastorate, which has turned out to be my only one because I've never gone anywhere else. So I came here to Alamance County in 1973, and I have been pastoring the same church all of these years, and I thank God for the privilege of doing that. God has given us some wonderful people to pastor, and I thank the Lord, too, for the sense of stability and security that that has given to my family, to be able to stay in one place without moving around all the time. And I do know that God sometimes moves preachers, and if he moves the preacher, he's going to move their family, of course. And I'm not saying that it's never God's will to do that. I'm just saying I'm thankful that in the providence of God, he allowed me to stay in one place. But as I got out into the pastorate and was endeavoring to preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in the style that I believed was God-honoring, I must say that I had the sense that I wasn't doing it particularly well. And I remember, as I was struggling, how to do this. I've been taught in school, and I have had an example set before me, but as I'm doing it now, I don't feel like I'm doing it very well. And one day, I heard a man preaching on the radio that I had never heard before and that I had never heard of before. I didn't know who this man was, except I heard his name, of course, at the beginning or end of the program. And I listened with delight. And I said, "Who is this man?" And I listened to him as often as I could because my thought was, and I'm sure I stated this to some people along the way, this man is preaching the way that I want to preach. This man is preaching the way that I think preaching ought to be done. And I can be helped by listening to him. And so I listened to him as often as I could. And when I had opportunity, when I found out that he was having a pastor's conference and inviting pastors to come to his church to receive instruction from him, though it was a long ways away. It was all the way to the West Coast, and our little church didn't have a lot of money in those days, but we managed to put together enough money to send myself and we had an associate pastor at that time as well, and the two of us boarded the plane and went out to California and listened to John MacArthur teach preachers a lot of things, not just how to preach, but a lot of things about church ministry. And I came back with even a greater appreciation for this particular man and his ministry. Now, I don't usually use names like that on the Beacon broadcast, but I thought in this case I would because this is an illustration of what I'm talking about. If you would ask me, who is your favorite preacher? Who would you rather listen to than anybody else? I don't know that he would be the only one on my list, and I don't know that he would necessarily be number one on my list today, but he's got to be in the top five. And he was a wonderful help to me when I was struggling. He was preaching the Word of God the way that I thought it ought to be preached. And so I was listening to him, following him, learning from him, being helped by him, and that's exactly what I'm talking about here. You can tell an awful lot about a preacher by finding out who are the men that he wants to learn from. Who are the men that he delights in listening to? Now, I don't hold a candle to him. One of the most encouraging comments, though, that I think I've ever received in my ministry, now again several years ago, but when we first started posting our sermons on the internet, I got some correspondence from a man in Australia who was downloading our sermons and listening to them, and he made this comment. I don't know if this is the exact wording, but he made the comment something like this. You preach like John MacArthur, and you and John MacArthur are my two favorite preachers to listen to. Well, believe me, I don't hold a candle. I don't hold a candle to John MacArthur. But what an encouragement that was to recognize that this man noticed a similarity. Now, I don't know if I would have ever noticed it or not. But obviously, if you admire someone, you listen to them, you learn from them, you probably end up sounding like them more than you would think. And that was a great encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for that encouragement. I need those encouragements along the way. Now, one mistake that some young preachers make is finding a preacher that they admire and try to copy his style, but they copy the wrong things. They sometimes copy his mannerisms, physical mannerisms in the pulpit, which sometimes are not all that good. Sometimes they are things that are a little bit quirky and really have nothing to do with the effectiveness of his sermon. They have nothing to do with the content. They really have nothing to do with the delivery, unless sometimes they actually are a distraction to his delivery. But it's amazing how when I was a young man in school, learning, preparing for ministry, how many of the men in my school tried to copy the founder of the school, and you could tell it. In fact, when I would be away in another state, another city, and attend church and see a man preach, oftentimes I knew ahead of time that he had graduated from the school, and sometimes I didn't even know it. But sometimes all I had to do was watch him preach, and I knew what school he graduated from, because there was a certain physical characteristic, a certain gesture that this well-known preacher used, and there were hundreds of young preachers out across America who were copying that and doing exactly the same thing. And I wanted to go up to these men and tug them on the sleeve and say, dear friend, don't you realize that doesn't have anything to do with the effectiveness of his preaching? If anything, that's a distraction. And certainly when it's done by somebody else, it really is a distraction. It was almost laughable, and it really was a distraction to those of us who had seen the original, and then we would see somebody else who was trying to copy this particular mannerism, and it almost was humorous, and it certainly, rather than contributing to the sermon, actually distracted from it, because now you were really focusing upon this particular gesture instead of upon what he was saying. So, no, that's not the way to go about it, dear friend. But to learn how a man prepares and packages and delivers truth, that can be very valuable. And you want to learn it from the men who do it the best. If you're going to learn from somebody, why not endeavor to learn from the ones who do it best? And if you can find out, I know I've emphasized and extended this first point several broadcasts now, but if you can find out who it is that a preacher himself admires, learns from, listens to, follows, and emulates, you're going to know an awful lot about the character and ministry of that particular man. I hope that'll help you. We'll move a little bit further along in the list, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.